Okay, good evening, everybody. Good Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos Erev Shabbos class learning. I hope everyone had a meaningful and successful week, and Baruch Hashem, we are zocha to continue delving into themes from Pirkei Avos. So we have two special sponsors tonight. I will say them in the order that I received them. The first sponsor, someone who listens to our shiur online, she reached out to me. Through a contact through my website that she listens to the shiur online. She would like to sponsor a shiur. So this is a very special dedication. So this shiur is dedicated by Rachel Small. In loving memory, she writes of my sister-in-law, Ariel Chana Small, Ariel Chana Bat Nachum Eliyahu Alal Sham, who passed away 15 years ago at the age of 14. Her yahrzeit is Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. Although I never had the zchus of meeting her, she passed away before I met my husband, I've heard very much about her over the years and feel a connection to her. She was diagnosed at a very young age with autism, and she was essentially nonverbal for her entire life. Despite her diagnosis, she brought a smile to everyone's face, and she touched the lives of all who knew her for her short 14 years. Her parents and four brothers showered her with love, a supportive and nurturing environment. She loved music, dancing, swimming, and went to Camp Hask for several summers. I believe the Chazon Ish said that individuals' special needs are considered to be holy neshamos. My sister-in-law Ariel was indeed a special person with a special neshama. Hashem did not give her the ability to speak. And because of this, my father-in-law likes to say she is one of the very few people who never spoke a word of Lashon Hara in her life. In Pirkei Avos, we learn Emor Ma'ava Sehar Bei, to speak little and do much. My sister-in-law Ariel did not speak much, but she was able to impact so many people in her short, meaningful life. My husband and I had the zchus to name our daughter Ariel, and we hope that our daughter will emulate the midos of her namesake and live a meaningful life. May the learning tonight be a zchus Aliyah Neshama and Zechira Neshama for Ariel Chana, Bas Nachum Eliyahu Alaha Hashalom, on the occasion of her yahrzeit, Rosh Chodesh Tammuz next week. We thank Rachel Sma and her family very much for reaching out and dedicating this year. The second sponsor, it is very beautiful. And sometimes, you know, people send me long things and I have to edit them sometimes I just try and make them a little bit more concise. And I hardly edited this at all. I took out just a couple of sentences because I was very moved. The second dedication, I see that the person's not here, I wish she was, is by Helen Wolf. Helen Wolf reached out to me. She's, I don't know if she's actually part of this group or not even, but she said that her cousin and best friend, Aviva Hoch, who's not here, is having a special birthday this week. And so Helen Wolf is sponsoring this year in honor of Aviva Hoch. We wish her a mazel tov, and I'll tell you that Aviva has been learning with me for many years. And she also emulates the trait of Emor Ma'ava Asay Harbei. She loves to learn. She's an intelligent woman. She always has a compliment, a kind word. If she can't make sure, she tells me. She wishes me atzlacha. She says, I'll listen to the recording. She sends me feedback and very nice voice notes. So I know that Aviva is also a person who is Emor Ma'ava Asay Harbei. And this year is dedicated by her cousin and best friend, Helen Wolf, in honor of Aviva Hach. And we miss her many years of Arichus Yamim and Shanim. So two very special dedications. So given the dedications, I decided to build a shiur specifically around this theme of speech. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing with you. And the first place we are going to begin is, here we go. I just want to make sure it's on my screen. Okay, we're going to begin in the end of last week's parsha. So last week's parsha takes us to Perek Yud Beis. I'm just going to screen share. Here we go. Of Bamidbar. Could you see on the screen where you went to Perek Yud Beis of Bamidbar? Yeah, okay. So last week's parsha is the story of Miriam's Lashon Hara, the narrative, I should say, of Miriam's Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe to Aaron. And Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe over the Isha Kushis that he took. He took an Isha Kushis. We're not talking about any details of the story at all, aside from the fact that Miriam opened with Lashon Hara, and Lashon Hara is true facts. Miriam opened with some sort of Lashon Hara, whatever exactly she said about Moshe to Aaron. Did Hashem only speak to Moshe? He spoke to us too, and God heard, and Moshe was very humble, more than any man upon the face of the earth. And God appeared subtly to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, come out, the three of you, and they go out. And the cloud of God is there, and he calls Aaron and Miriam, and they come out, and he says, Moshe is like no other prophet. on my whole house, he's the most trustworthy. I speak to him mouth to mouth, and he doesn't see vision. He doesn't see riddles. He sees like clarity, the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever that means. God is angry and he departs. And when the cloud of God lifts up from the tent of meeting, behold, Miriam is mitzoras kashalag. And we know that the Gemara tells us beferish in Erechin that one of the causes of Lashon Hara, there are seven causes for Lashon Hara, and one of the primary causes of tzara'as is Lashon Hara, which Miriam spoke. And so the punishment for speaking Lashon Hara is tzara'as badad yeshiv. She's sent away out of all three camps. She has to wait there for a week. So last week's parsha, we have this inyan of Miriam's Lashon Hara that she spoke about her brother. And how does this week's parsha begin? Perek Yud Gimel, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Excuse me, God spoke to Moshe saying, Shlachacha Anashim V'yasuras Arts Canaan, send for yourself men, they shall scout out the land of Canaan that I am giving to the children of Israel, one man per tribe. So the very first Rashi to the entire parsha, quoting Medrash Tanchuma, which you see here on my screen, Lama Nismecha Parshas Miragim and Parshas Miriam. Why is the story of the scout who went to scout out the land of Israel put next to the story of Miriam? And we know that topics in the Chumash that are juxtaposed to each other are not random, okay? So letters in Chumash are not random, words are not random, psukim are not random, and topics that are put next to each other are put next to each other with significance. So Rashi kashas, quoting Medrash Tanchuma, why is this narrative of the spies put next to the narrative of Miriam Lafisha Laksa al Iske Diba? Shadibra Balchia, she was punished from matters of speech that she spoke about her brother, Urashaim Halalu Ra'u Velo Lachu Musar. And these Rasha'im, meaning these spies, these scouts, saw what happened to Miriam. They knew she had tzara'as. They knew the whole entire Israelite camp had to wait for 7 days for her to come back to the camp. And they didn't take Musar. They didn't take a lesson. They didn't take chastisement. And they repeated her sin. They should have learned from her sin. So that is the connection between the Enabaloshch and the beginning of Shlach, two themes of Lashon Hara. So Hashem says to Moshe, send for yourself men. And Moshe sent them from the wilderness of Paran, going back to the Pshat here, by the word of God. They were all men. Rashi says at this point they were still Kshirim and Chashuvim, and now we have a whole list of their names. And Moshe sent them to scout out the land, and he says, go up in the south, ascend in the mountain. Remember, of course, they're going from the south. They're going from Egypt to Eretz Canaan. So they're walking from south to north. They're entering Eretz Israel in the south, and you should see the land. What is it? You should see the nation. Is it strong? Is it weak? Is it few? Is it many? What about the land? Is it good? Is it bad? What about the cities? Are they open or are they fortified? And what about the land itself? Shmeina and Raza literally mean fat and skinny. What it means is the land lush and fertile, Shmeina, or is it skinny, meaning lean and emaciated? Does she have produce or not? Is there a tree or not? Be strong, take from the fruits. And the days were the time of the grape harvest. So they go up, they scout out the land, they go from the wilderness of Tzin into the pass of Levo Hamas, and they go up in the south, and Kalev Davins for himself is going to be important. Vayalu Banega, Vayavo Ar Chevron, they go up through the south, and he comes to Hebron. So now, of course, Chazal pick up on the fact that now there's Lashon Yachid. They go up in the south, Vayavo at Hebron. He comes to Hebron. So look at Rashi here, Vayavo at Hebron. Kalev Levado Halachsham. Kalev himself went to Hebron. Vinish Tateach al Kivrei Avos. He prostrated over the graves of the patriarchs. He's the first documented person to make a trip to Davin by Kivrei Avos and Ma'aras HaMachpela. What was his tefillah? Shelo Yehei Nisas, the Chaver of the but it's a big Nisayon. He knows it's a Nisayon. He doesn't want to get swept into the Nisayon of his comrades to be in their bad plot. So therefore, and like the Pasuk says, V'lo etenis artzashar darach bo, Hashem promises to give Kalev the land where his foot trod, v'yitein the Kalev as Chevron. So he got Chevron. Why? Because he went to Chevron where his foot trod to daven over Kivrei Avos that he should be saved from the plot of the spies. Okay, so they come back. No, not yet. They come to Nachal Eshkol. They cut some of the Shivas Haminim, the Gifanim, and Eshkol and Avim, and Rimonim, and Te'enim. They come back at the end of 40 days. Vayechu vayevo Moshe v'Aaron, they come back, vayashivu osam davar. Literally means, and they return back word. They show them the fruit of the land. Vayashivu osam davar. These are words that indicate the sin was with their mouths. Vayisapru lo. Furthermore, they tell, lisaper, lidaber. We came to the land that you told us, that you sent us to. There's a land flowing with milk and honey. These are the fruits, Ephes, the beginning of the downfall. The beginning of the downfall was really seeing the bad in the land, but in terms of speech, but people are very strong, the cities are very fortified, we saw giants there, Amalek dwells in the south, the Chiti, Yevusi, and Emori sit on the mountain range, the Canaanites are by the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River, the land is landlocked on all four sides with our enemies. What is Kalev's response? Vayahas Kalev Esha'am El Moshe. What does this mean? Vayahas Kalev Esha'am El Moshe. Kalev hushed the people. So if you look at Rashi, why did it go off of my screen? Rashi says right here, what is Vayahas? What happened here? Vayahas. What did Kalev do? He shtik es kulam. He silenced them. They're talking. Vayisapru. Vayutzviu dibasa'arat. I didn't get up to that pasuk yet, but they're speaking badly about the land. What does Kalev do? He silences the people. And he says, we can go up, we can inherit the land, we can do it. And the people who are with him said, we can't go up, they're stronger than God. Vayotzu dibasa'arat asher taru osel b'nei Yisrael. Ah, the spies spread slander about the land that they scouted out. Vayotzu dibasa'arat. Rashi says, I'm going to show you a different Rashi. And they speak bad about the land, and they say the land that we scattered out, it's a land that consumes its inhabitants, and all the nation we saw is people of great stature, and we saw giants in their land, and we were in their eyes like grasshoppers, and so we were in their eyes. So we have one story of Lashon Hara, Miriam speaking about her brother Moshe to Aaron, followed by another story of Lashon Hara, the spy speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and also Kaviyach, if such a thing was possible, about the Ribono Shel Olam. When they say here, and this pasuk, look at Rashi, it's as if they were saying that the Canaanites and the Amalekites and those we saw on the mountain range, the Yevusi and the Amori, are stronger than God, so to speak. So you see that they come back, and what is Kalev's response? Vayahas Kalev Esha'am. What did Rashi say? I showed you Rashi already. Hishtik es kulam. He made them all. He silenced them. He tried to get them to stop this negative speech. Vatisa kala eda vayitnu es kolam. Once again, a reference to this mida of using your voice for negative. The entire assembly lifted up. Vayitnu es kolam. They gave forth their voice. Everyone is screaming and yelling with their call about how bad Eretz Canaan is. And then vayiv kulam belailohu, the Lashon Hara that they're all speaking feeds off of each other. The hysteria feeds off of each other. Vayivku ha'am belailo. After vayitnu es kolam, they gave forth their voice. There's a lot of reference here to the power of speech that is being used to disseminate the sin and the lashon hara about Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, vayalinu al Moshe v'Aaron. Now they come and they complain against Moshe and Aaron. Vayomu. They continue with the sin of speech. Would that we have died in the land of Egypt. Would that we have died in the desert. You bring us to fall by the sword. Moshe falls upon his face. And what do Kalev and Yehoshua say? They speak positive. Vayomu al kol das bnei Yisrael. Ha'aretz asher avanu balatur, so tova ha'aretz me'onmar. This is a battle of words. It's a battle of words between the meragim who are speaking. Vayisapru dibas ha'aretz vayitnu es kolam. I mean, look at the pshat of the psukim. Over and over, the emphasis is on using their words for bad. And vayahas, the first thing Kalev does is he tries to get them to just stop talking. And then here you see in Perek Yudalev, continuing with the narrative, what do they do? Vayomru al ka adas b'nei Yisrael lay more. They try and speak positive about the land to convince people that we should go up. If God wants it, he'll bring us to the land. He'll give us the land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against Hashem. And what do the people want to do? It's so interesting. Look at the pasuk, Perek Yudalev, pasuk Yud. Vayomru kala eda lirgom osom ba'avanim. That's a strange thing. And the entire assembly says to stone them with stones. Why doesn't it just say, and they wanted to stone them. They desired to stone them. Once again, the focus is on using words. I'm not making up anything here. You see that the pshat is very heavily focused on the koach of the dibor. It's a battle of words between the ten meraglim and Adas B'nai Yisrael and Kalev and Yehoshua. And what happens to the people? What happens to the people? I actually prepared it on a handout for you, but since we are on this, I don't want to stop the screen share and go to my handout right now. We're going to do that after. But since I'm here, well, I'm just going to show you. So what happens to them? Okay. Look at this. They died. who died? Motzi'ei dibas ha'aretz ra. Those who spoke the slander, the bad speech. So much focus is on words in this narrative. It doesn't just say that the meraglim died. It doesn't just say ka adas b'nei Yisrael who believed it died. Vayemusu anashim, who died? Motzi'ei dibas ha'aretz ra. Those who spoke bad. Those who gave forth bad words. Those who produced negative speech about Eretz Yisrael. Ba'magefa lifnei Hashem. And look what Rashi says. Unbelievable, according to Gemara. But also misa ha'guna lahem. You know how they died? An appropriate death for them. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Heim chatu bilashon, and as we have gone through, even the pshat without any mefarshim, you see how much focus there is on the words that they spoke, the words that they used to report, to persuade the people. Vayitnu es kolam literally means they gave forth their voice. Everyone screaming and yelling about how bad Eretz Yisrael is. Heim chatu bilashon, they spoke with their tongues. Vinishtar beiv lishonam ad taburam, their tongue came out of their mouth and grew long until their belly button. V'tolaim yotzim milishonam, worms came out of their tongue. Uva in l'toch taburam, went into their bellies. L'kach nemar b'mageifa v'lo b'mageifa. That's why it says they died in the plague. It's identifying for you that they died in a specific plague. What's a specific plague? This tongue growing long, worms crawling out of the tongue and entering their navel because of how they spoke. And that's why it says, Lifnei Hashem, Bamageifa Lifnei Hashem. If you see the pasuk, they died in the plague before God, but also Haro'ui Lahem, in the plague appropriate for them. Al pi midos of Shel Kosh Baruch Hu. Shehu modeid mida kenegan mida. What does it mean they died before God? It means before God, i.e., according to his attribute of mida sha'adam modeid modedin lo. The way in which a person measures others, so he will be measured. So you measured Eretz Yisrael with a bad tongue, with negative speech, with inflammatory words, with poisonous reports. That is exactly how they died. Their tongue became poisonous, inflammatory. Pun very much intended. Their tongue became negative. So now I am going, I just want to see something. I don't think Aviva Hach, she actually, Aviva Hach messaged me earlier this afternoon, and she's like, I'm so sorry, I'm going to have to miss part of Pirkei Avos class. And I'm thinking, oh no, you don't even know that you're the honoree tonight. So I said, which part of class do you have to miss? So she says, the end. I said, okay, Baruch Hashem, I'll see you later. She Baruch Hashem la simcha tonight, but I guess she couldn't attend any of it, so she told me she'll listen to the recording, so she will have the kavod in honor of her birthday after she listens to the recording. Let us go to our screen share, okay? That handout that I made for you right here. Okay, let me put you over here. So could you see, it says Rashi to Bamidbar 13:2. Yeah, thank you so much. So these sources we already did. This first source tells you why the story of the Meraglim is right by the story of Miriam. Okay, because she was stricken with words. She spoke about her brother. These wicked people saw, they didn't take Musar. This Rashi we also just did. This is the Rashi that describes their punishment. And when Rachel Small sent a dedication in memory of her sister-in-law, Alaha Hashalom, Ariel Chana, Bas Nachum Eliyahu, and she spoke specifically about her Mida, since she could not speak, her father would always likes to say she's one of the few people who never had the ability to speak Lashon Hara in her life. So I went through Perek Aleph of Pirkei Avos, and look how many of the teachings have to do with this idea of speaking positively and being careful with our words. These are four different Mishnayos from Perek Aleph and Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos, chapter 1. Yosi ben Yochanan ish Yerushalayim Omer. Yosi ben Yochanan, a man from Yerushalayim, says, Yehi beischa pasuach levracha. Your house should be wide open. You should always be looking to do achnasas archim. You should emulate Avraham Avinu. V'yu anim b'nei beisacha. And anim, poor people, should be members of your household. Meaning, find ways to do chesed, to do tzedakah. V'al tarbas sicha im ha'isha. However, I'm cautioning you, while your house should be open for everybody, you have to be careful. It doesn't mean you have to become a brothel. It doesn't mean you have to go overboard and become inappropriate. So you see here a warning about not increasing speech excessively with women. He was talking about with his wife. How much more so with the wife of your friend? From here the sages say, when a man speaks excessively, inappropriately with a woman, he is causing bad to himself. He is being mevatel divrei Torah. When I translate botel divrei Torah into being mevatel divrei Torah, I did not translated at all. He is nullifying the time that he could have used to spend involved in words of Torah. V'sofer yorish kehenim. Someone just interestingly once told me an interesting pshat. I'm not delving into the Mishnah in depth tonight. Maybe a different time we should do it, because I know for some people this Mishnah is very difficult. The reason being because it says be'ishta omra kal v'chomer be'ishas chaviro. It's one thing to tell me not to talk to ishas chaviro so much. It's another thing not to tell me to talk to your wife. It says in the biography of Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, when he would sit on the porch and he was learning Shabbos afternoon, every single time his rabbitzin came to say something to the Gadol Hadar and the Posik Hador, he would stop his learning in order to give his attention to his wife. So maybe a different time we should delve into this Mishnah, but the reason I'm bringing it to you is to simply show you that we have a warning about speech. Someone once pointed out something interesting to me, Shani Gorelitz, and she said, Sicha is also a word for prayer. Just an interesting pshat into this Mishnah. We know that la suach basada, la shon tfila. Chof dal tzamech gibel, ma'ahav tisor sechel kol misichasi, tfila lo aniki yatof lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. Siach is not only conversation, it's also prayer. So perhaps, Shani proposed, what the Mishnah means is al tarba sicho ma'isha. We know that you have to keep tfila separate. Men and women do not daven together. We are not egalitarian. We do not have mixed pews. Someone came to the Rav once, Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik, the Rav, and he said to him, the only place, he was somewhere far away, for Yantav, I don't know, the only community he was in where he could go hear shofar and Rosh Hashanah was a shul that did not have a proper mechitza. Should he go to that shul even though there was no proper mechitza? Otherwise, he could not hear shofar. Rosh Hashanah of Salvechik told him, stay home. Don't go to hear shofar if it means you are davening in a base knesses without a proper mechitza. So I just thought that there was a very astute comment by Shani. Girlets, al tarba sicha me'isha, do not increase prayer with women. Men and women have to be separate in prayer. And then the Mishnah, it makes a little bit more sense, actually. Oh, Shani, I didn't even know you're here. Wow. I had no idea you were here. Like, mamish no idea here, okay? So yeah, Baruch Hashem, I remember you said that, okay? So it's a very, very nice psha. I mamish did not know you were here. That's one teaching. The reason I bring it to you again is because it's a warning about being careful with your speech. Another Mishnah from Parak Aleph in Pirkei Avos, okay? Avtalyon omer chachamim hizharu bedivreichem. Sages, be careful with your words. We touched upon this last week. Again, what is the teaching here? A person has to be very careful with how they speak. Why? Lest through your words you cause the students who come after you to have the wrong impression. They will drink bitter waters. You will find it's a chilul Hashem. Again, we're not delving into any of these Mishnais in depth. The point is that you see a focus on being careful with your speech, whether it's tarba sicha ma'isha, whether you are a chacham, a teacher, a position of prominence. You have to be very careful with how you speak. You don't want to give them the wrong impression. You don't want to make a chilul Hashem. You don't want people to misconstrue or misunderstand what you're saying. Shammai Omer, and this is the Mishnah that Rachel Smal quoted in memory of her sister-in-law, Alal. Shammai Omer, and by the way, it's Shammai who teaches you this. And the reason that that is so interesting is because Shammai is very harif. Shammai is very exacting. And yet it's Shammai who says, Asei Toras Chakeva. So that I understand. You have to make your Torah learning permanent. So if you have a commitment every Thursday night at 8 o'clock, that you carve out time for a shir Baruch Hashem, and now the HR gets in your way and he says, oh, you could skip this week. Oh, I'm not talking about an emergency. I'm not talking about a legitimate Shas HaChak. Why should you join this week? That's the HR Hara. You have set aside Kavata Itim L'Torah, Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph, Asei Toras Chakeva, and one of the six questions you're going to be asked in the Olam HaEmes is Kavata Itim L'Torah. So you say, I am Kovei Itim L'Torah. My Torah is Kava. My Torah is Kava. So then the HR comes and he says, you know, maybe you shouldn't be so regular. Maybe you shouldn't be so permanent. Do something else. You know what happens if you skip 1 week? It's bad in your eyes. Is that what a chazal say? The second week, it's not so bad. The third week, nasa lo kaheter. It's already like mamish gevaldik. It's a chatchia to mishir. You have to be very careful to make sure that your Torah learning is keva. Oh, what a shamai also say, emor ma'ah va'asei harbe. You should do a lot and you should speak a little. The hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafus. The commentators say that because it's Shammai who teaches you, hevi mekabel es kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafus, you learn that this is not beyond the letter of the law, Shammai was very exacting and according to the letter of the law, very harif, if you will, whereas Hillel was more nochalin va'aluvin, says the Gemara in Erevin Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Shammai is very exacting. If Shammai is the one who tells you you should greet every person with a pleasant countenance, then that is not even the spirit of the law, that is the exact letter of the law. But what does Shammai say? Besides, to make your Torah learning permanent, don't let the Yetzer Hara get in your way, and also greet every person with a pleasant countenance. Excuse me, you have to make sure Amar Ma'at, what can't is not speaking much and overboard and just talking about how much you want to do. Amar Ma'at, you should say a little, Va'aseh Harbe, and you should do a lot. And finally, one more Mishnah, remember we're in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, a number of different Mishnah used to focus on the importance of Dibur. Shimon Bino, Omer, Kol Yamai Gadalti Bene Chachamim, Ve'lo Matzati L'guf Tov Elashtika. I have to tell you something. I grew up all my days amongst the sages, and I found nothing better for the body, nothing, than shtika. Now remember, we saw, Vayahas Kalev Esha'am, Kalev silences the people, and what did Rashi tell us? He quieted them, attempted to quiet them. Lomatsati the guf tav el shtika. You wonder what the best thing for the body is? Is it a glass of wine every day? Is it once a week? Is it dark chocolate, 70% cacao, 72% cacao, 84% cacao? Is it olive oil? Is it canola oil? Is it coconut oil? Is it avocado oil? They're constantly changing their minds. The baby should sleep on the side, the back, the stomach, standing up. Everything's always changing. But one thing never changes. Lo matzati the guf tav ela shtika. This relates to the previous Mishnah that we looked at. The drosh, the learning is not the ikra, ela the maisa. Once again, don't worry so much about delving with your words into your learning. Maisa, do something about it. V'chol ha'mar b'dvarim mevichet. And the more one talks, the more sin they bring upon themselves and others. So this is a series of Mishnayos that you see. They're all in Perek Aleph, Al Tar B'Sicha Im Ha'isha, He's Haru B'Divreichem, and Mor Ma'at V'Aseh Harbei, Lo Matzati L'Guf Tav El Ashtika, V'chol ha'mar b'dvarim mevichet. I want to share with you a givaldik orachayim that my daughter Tamar Shatichia brought to my attention a number of years ago in TMM. So yes, Shani, I remember this one also, Baruch Hashem. Sometimes a word that a person teaches me just sticks in my head. Hodu Hashem Kitov. And it really makes an impression on me. And every year, Pasha Shlach, this Aruch Chaim, and I just said it to my daughter. We were out of town for 2 days, my daughter and I, in the beginning of the week, and the flight was so delayed that I learned the entire Pasha Shlach with every Rashi. That's how delayed we were, and had time to do other things as well. But I said to her, Tamar, you taught me the Aruch Chaim on this Pasuk. So she said, I had to remind her what it was, etc. I didn't remember it exactly, the Lashon. So Mamish, to prepare this year, I looked it up online, I relearned it, and I am going to share it with you this evening. Okay? So let us look at the Aruch Chaim. Okay? Okay. Oh. I'm going to go back to the psukim. Aviva Hach, you're here. You told me you're missing the end, not the beginning. Okay, 1 second. I want to just take you back to the psukim. Can you see I went back to Bamidbar Perek Yadalid? Yes, somebody? Yes, thank you. Okay, so look what Hashem says, okay? He called ha'anashim ha'roim es kevodi ve'es oso sayesh ha'osisa b'mitzrayim u'b'midbar. All the men, meaning this whole generation, who saw my kavod, my honor, and my signs that I put in Egypt and in the desert, ve'yinasu osisa eser pa'amim, they tested me 10 times, v'lo shamu b'koli, they did not listen to my voice. Hashem takes an oath, im yiru es ha'aretz, in other words, they will not see the land that I swore to their forefathers, and all of those who rejected and angered me will not see the land. And then Hashem says, Avdi Kalev, but my servant Kalev, Ekev Haisa Ruach Acheres Imo, because he had a different spirit with him, Vayimale Acharai, he followed after me, he went after me, Vavi Osivela Aretz Osher Basham Avizaro Yorishana. I will bring him to the land. Oh, so there's an exception. Everyone of this generation is going to die. Everyone didn't believe in me, but Kalev is my servant. No, Va'avdi Kalev. How many people in Chumash actually get the Toar Eved Hashem? because he had a different spirit in him, and he went after me, I will bring him to the land that he entered, Asher Basham. Remember, he went to Hebron. Ultimately, he's going to get that. And Vizaro and his seed, his progeny after him, Yorishena, they will take it as a possession. They will hold the land. Now let's go back to the handout that I prepared for you. Aviva Hach, I don't know if you know, but this shiur is in your honor. I mentioned it in the beginning, but you weren't here. This shiur is sponsored by your friend, your best friend and cousin, Helen Wolf, because you have a special birthday this week. We wish you a mazel tov, and I said that you two are a person, you have to go back and listen to the beginning of the shiur, please, who is emor ma'av ase harbeh, whether it's your learning, or your ahavas yisrael, or your positive voice notes, and your hatzlacha rabba wishes. You're a person who is emor ma'av ase harbeh, and this shiur is generously sponsored by your friend and cousin Helen Wolf in your honor. So I'm glad you joined us, okay? I'm going back to the handout that I made for you. Okay, can you see that it says the Or HaChaim Bamidbar 14:24? Yeah, okay, very good. This is a gevaldik Or HaChaim. First of all, note that Kalev is called Avdi Kalev, my servant Kalev. How many people in the Chumash are actually called an Eved, that God says he is my Eved? One of them obviously comes to mind, and that is Vayamasham Moshe Eved Hashem, at the end of the Chumash in Perek Lamed Aleph. Moshe is an Eved Hashem. Many people do not get the Torah Eved Hashem. Now we're told about Kalev, they had a ruach acheres, that's one thing we're told, a different spirit in him. He followed after me. Therefore, v'havi osiv al ha'aretz asher bashama, I will bring him to the land that he went there. V'zari yorishena, not only that, but his children, his seed will inherit it. So he will actually be the yotzei min haklal. Now, where's Yoshua? Hashem just promised that all the people who tested God and didn't believe in his miracles are not going into the land. Hashem says, except for Kalev. This is a gevaldik or a chaim. I thank my daughter Tamar Chanamaka for a number of years ago when she was in TMM, I don't remember which grade, 10th, 11th, for pointing this out to me. Okay, v'avdi Kalev. Let's look at the Or HaChaim together. And remember, the theme of tonight's shiur, like we said, is all these mishnayos and perek aleph that teach us how careful we have to be with our speech. Al tar basicha me'isha, he's har b'divrechem, emor ma'ava se'arbeh, lo matzati the guftav alishtika, ko amar b'dvarim, mevi chet. Furthermore, we began this year by even looking at the pshat of Perek Yud Gimel, and the pshat of Perek Yud Gimel is how much their sin is about a battle of words. Vayahas Kalev Esa'am. Kalev hushes them and speaks positive. The 10 spies continued to give Vayisapru, Dibasa'aret, Vayomru, Vayitnu Es Kolam. So much focus on speech until their tongue swelled, came out of their mouth, was filled with worms, and the worms entered their navels. Mida k'negan mida. What about Kalev? Tzarich l'das, lama lo hizkar ala Kalev v'lo Yoshua? We have to know, says the Or HaChaim, why God here mentions Kalev and not Yoshua. Gam kavanas omru haisa ruach acheres imo. Furthermore, what does it mean that Kalev had a different spirit in him? Gam amru v'yimale acharai. And furthermore, it says about Kalev, he followed, he was whole, malei. He was full, he was whole, he was complete with me. Gam Amro, furthermore, it says, Vahavi Yosef, and I will bring him to the land, Bitosefes Vav, Vehavi Yosef. There's an extra Vav by Vehavi Yosef, Bigzeiris HaKasov. So what is going on with this Pashit? What's going on with Kalev? Achein Perush HaKasov, who? Al Zehadarach. I will explain to you the pshat of this Pashit, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, in this way. Vaavdi Kalev, my servant Kalev. Vitam Shani Koreoso Avdi. So this is a very unusual toar. It's a very rare. It's the best badge in life a person could get. I've told it to you many times before that Rav Meilich Biederman tells over, Meilich Biederman Shlita tells over that there was a Hasidic rabbi. I don't remember. He tells many stories of different rabbis. And he said to his Hasidim one Rosh Chodesh, right? Ana Hashem is the most important part of Halo. So he says, come back to me tomorrow and tell me which Ana Hashem. So some of the Hasidim said, Ana Hashem Hoshia, Na is the most important part of Halah. Some of the other Hasidim said, Ana Hashem Hatzlicha, Na is the most important part of Halah. So they come back, it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh, and they say to the Rabbi, we think it's Ana Hashem Hoshia, Na. And the other group says, it's Ana Hashem Hatzlicha, Na. The Rabbi says, you're both wrong. The most important part of Halah is Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avadecha. I am your servant God. Very, very rare toar to be called a servant of Hashem by Hashem himself. It's easy to call yourself an Eved Hashem. God bestows the Torah of Eved upon Caliph. V'tam shani koreyoso avdi hu ekev peirush schar asher haiso ruach acharisimo. The reason I call him an Eved, the interpretation is it's a reward. A reward for what? Haisa ruach acheres imo. He had a different spirit in him. What does that mean? Kalev had a different spirit in him. Shehagam sheYoshua gam kein lo niyatz Hashem imem meraglim. It's true that Yoshua also did not anger Hashem with the meraglim, just like Kalev did it. Aval pikein, nevertheless, zahaya lo siba. There's a reason that Yehoshua was not involved in the plot of the spies. Tfilas Moshe hitzalto. Yoshua was saved from the evil inclination because the prayers of Moses saved him. And the tefillos of Moshe saved him from the strength of the meraglim, and it didn't turn Yehoshua aside. It didn't stray Yehoshua to sin. So it's true Yehoshua did not talk lashon hara about the land. It's true Yehoshua did not doubt God's power. It's true Yehoshua did not reject Kavi Achal and anger the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he was saved from the Yetzer Hara. He was saved from the strength of the spies in order that he didn't sin because Moses davened for him. Oh, let's start a new paragraph so you can see it even clearer. Masha Ein Kein Kalif. This is a Gevaldik Aruch Chaim. Is a tzaddik born a tzaddik? Does a tzaddik set out on every mission perfectly pure? Did Kalev not have a Yetzer Hara to join the Atzos and Meraglim? Masha ein kein Kalev, she nichnas begeder sakonas Yetzer Hara. The chaverso harisha'a, v'tachal ruach ra lepamo. Who? Was Kalev always a tzaddik? Kalev ben Yifuna, Mishevet Yehuda? Mishevet Yehuda, Kalev ben Yehuda? No. Shanichnas begeder sakonas yetzer hara. He entered into danger of the yetzer hara, the chaver so harisha, and to the chabura, the wicked chabura, the tachel ruach ra lepamo. And would you believe it? But the bad spirit almost persuaded him. Kalev was this close to sinning. The haraya shahalach v'nishta tachel kivros avos. What is the proof that Kalev almost sinned, that he almost joined their plot, that he almost rebelled against God, that the yetzer hara and Kalev was so strong? Everyone, remember this Aruch Chaim. The proof is he had to go and he had to daven over kivros avos. He had to beg the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Zechus of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, and Leah, that he should not sin. V'hu amar ruach acheres imo. That's what it means. He had a different spirit. It means he had a yetzer hara. It doesn't mean he was a tzaddik gamur. It does. He was because he overcame it. But it doesn't mean at the beginning of the mission, and even inside the mission, he wasn't persuaded to sin. Ruach acheres imo means he almost sinned. He was almost persuaded by their yetzer hara. Afal pi kein. But even though his yetzer hara was so strong in him, vayimalei acharai. Ezehu Gibor, says Pirkei Avos and Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph, who is a mighty warrior, HaKovesh Yitzro. Even though he had a Ruach HaCheres, what does Ruach HaCheres mean? He almost sinned. He was so close to sinning. He was in the gather of Sakanas Yitzro Hara. He was almost in the Chabura HaRisha'a. That Ruach Ra'a was persuading him. Nevertheless, he was a Gibor HaKovesh Yitzro, to quote the beginning of Perek Dalet and Pirkei Avos, VaYimalei Acharai Perush Hishlim Achar Ritzoni Yisparach. He was successful and going after the Ratzon of Hashem. V'diktek lomar b'derech zeh letzad sheyesh b'adam be... Let's start a new paragraph so you could see it. Gevaldik. V'diktek lomar b'derech zeh. The pasuk was medaktik, exacting, to say it in this way. Letzad sheyesh b'adam beiz yoatzin. Every person has two advisors. You have a yoetz ra and a yoetz tov. You have a bad advisor and you have a good advisor. What we call the yoetz hara and the yoetz tov. Lalechas acharei Hashem, to go after Hashem. So the yoetz hara says go after the meraglim. The yoetz hara says watch the MA rated movie. The yoetz tov says maybe you should go to the shiur, read a kosher magazine instead of reading that novel, that romance novel from the library. You have a yoetz hara. You have a yoetz tov. Lalechas acharei Hashem. V'hu hishlim umide acharei Hashem. Chedek Hashem. And Kalev was successful in overcoming the Ruach HaCheres. Rav Hunner has such a famous letter in his Pachad Yitzchak. It's one of the most famous things that Rav Hunner, to lay people like myself, is famous for, which is the letter where he says to his struggling Talmud, do you think the Chafetz Chaim was perfect from birth? Do you think the Gedolim never had a Yetzer Hara? Who knows the obstacles the Chafetz Chaim had to overcome to not speak Lashon Hara, says Rav Hunner. Back to the sins of speech. Back to the idea of Amor Ma'ava, Sehar Beit. Back to both dedications of tonight's shir. V'zahu al derech arm amzal. This is what Chazal say in the Gemara. Misha ba aveira liado v'nitzo mimeno. Someone who an aveira comes to his hand, and he is saved from doing the aveira, but you're so close, you could almost touch it. You're so close, the negative words are on the tip of your tongue. He had a ruach acharis. It's not a compliment of Kalev, says the Aruch Chaim. It's telling you how close he was to sinning with them. Ruach acharis means he was almost with the spies who spoke Lashon Hara. And the Gemara says that anyone who comes on a veira and he's saved, nosen lo schar ka'osa mitzvah. He gets a reward as if he did a mitzvah. V'zeh eino b'Yoshua. Kalev was greater than Yoshua. But makom shabali teshuva omdim, ein tzadikim gemurim omdim. This was not the case in Yoshua. Ki lo haisa ruach acharesimo. Yoshua did not have a different spirit in him. Meaning, he was kosher from the time he went, and he never intended to sin. Lahat also midara chaseichel. Yoshua never had that yetzer hara that wanted to persuade him and twist him from the proper path. Ki Moshe mano, the tefilas Moshe prevented Yoshua from sinning, from even having the bad machshava. V'yesh koch betefilas hatzadikim gam lebchina zu besod. And even the koch of a tzaddik has the power to persuade, to help a person not to sin, quoting a pasuk from Shmuel, Tzadik Moshe, Yiras Elokim, where a tzadik rules, he can control to some degree someone else's Yiras Elokim. Asher Alkin Zacha Kalev, Sheyikra Ever Hashem Kimosher Abenu Olav Hashalom. Look at the godless of holding your tongue. Look at the godless of Amor Ma'av Asay Herbe. Look at the godless of Kol Amar B'Dvarim Mevichei. Look at the godless of his Chachamim, his Haru B'Divreichem. You know why Kalev was called an Eved Hashem? Not because he never had a desire to sin. Not because he was perfect from the beginning of the mission. Not because he didn't want to join them. Because he did want to join them. Because he was so close. Because his Yetzer was burning within him. That was Ruach Acharis Imo. And he overcame. How poignant. A poetic justice. That the first words we saw about Kalev in the narrative is Vayahas Kalev Es Ha'am. He shushes them. He attempts to silence them using his positive koach adibur, which was not his natural inclination in this case. He attempts to silence their negative speech. Asher al kein zach akav sheyikra Eved Hashem. Who is called an Eved Hashem in the Chumash? How many people got the Torah Eved Hashem? You could call yourself an Eved Hashem. But how many people does God that actually designate with a badge? You are my Eved. It's the highest Torah. It was Moshe Rabbeinu's entire obituary. Vayamasham Moshe, Eved Hashem, Alpi Hashem. It doesn't say Vayamasham Moshe, Ha'ish Haman. It doesn't say Vayamasham Moshe, Ha'ish Kriyas Yamsuf. It doesn't say Vayamasham Moshe, Ha'ish Shaliach Yitzias Kuntrayim. Vayamasham Moshe, Eved Hashem. Wow. Kalev, in terms of being an Eved Hashem, was in some way on the level of the great Moshe Rabbeinu. How many people could say that? Not because he was absolutely perfect and never wanted to sin, but because he davka did want to sin. He was so close to sinning with his words, he turned the Yetzer Hara over, and he used his words for the positive. Al kein zacha kalev sheyikra Eved Hashem kemoshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashem. Go look up the Aruch Chaim. It's right here. Go look it up. And that's why the pasuk says, I will bring him to the land, the Ribbono Shel Olam says that he came there. What land did he go to? Chevron. What did he do in Chevron? Perush lehispalel al atzmo. He went to daven for himself. What did he do? He used Hakol Kol Yaakov in Chevron. The whole narrative of the spies of the Meraglim revolves around Koach HaDibur. The Koach HaDibur of the Meraglim, Vayisapru, Vayomru, Dibas Haaretz, Vayinu Es Kolam, and the battle of words with Kalev, Vayahas, Kalev Esam. What did he do in Kivra Avos? Hakol Kol Yaakov. He davened for himself. Lehit Palal Al Atzmo. The Kan Ramas Hit Atzmuto Ad Sheyemale Yachrei Hashem. And here we have an allusion to his great strength, his great tenacity, his great koach adibur for positive, that he was able to overcome this yetzer hara, the yoetz ra, and walk after God. It's gewaldic. It's mamish gewaldic. You know, I was out of town, I mentioned. We left early Sunday morning and came back Monday night. It was a purposeful trip. Purposeful trip necessary. So, I remember the Aruch Chaim. I mentioned to my daughter tomorrow, you taught this to me, and she didn't remember, but I reminded her, but I didn't look it up inside. And then I really wanted to teach it the whole week, but I didn't have an opportunity to teach it the whole week because there's a lot to teach. Kanainahar. Actually, for this week, this is my last year of the week. And when I received the dedication from Chalas Tamal, she was talking about this idea of a Mar Ma'av, Asay her Beilis, Echa Nishmas, her pure sister-in-law, and her Kadosh Neshama, Allah Shalom. I thought, oh, Hashem is giving me the opportunity to teach something I want to teach the whole week. So I'll be honest, I did not have time to look up the Orach Chaim, even though I remember that I loved it, and I remember the basic point of the Orach Chaim. I did not look it up until I had to prepare this year earlier today. So I thank you for the detailed description and dedication for forcing me to go look up the Orach Chaim again. It's gewaldic. It's a battle of words. And Kalev was so close to sinning. And he doesn't sin, and he's called Eved Hashem. That's the most important part of Hallel. Not Ana Hashem Hoshiana, and not Ana Hashem Mitzlichana, Ana Hashem Ki Ani Avodecha. The Khan Ramas, and in the fact that he davened for himself, Al Kivrei Avos, Hit Atzmuso, Al Shiyamala Echor Hashem, his great strength, his tenacity of character, till he went after the word of God. The Kavanas HaTova, he... The kavanat hatava zohi shalob bavad shalo nichnas begeder hagzeira elihiv tichu b'chayim. Not only God rewards him, not only is he not in the gzeira of the carcasses will fall in the desert, elihiv tichu b'chayim. God promised him more. I promise you life. Shagam shayeb ben arbaim shana az. Interesting, we know how old Kalev was at the time of the sin. The Aruch Chaim says he was already 40 years old. The Gazar Hashem sheyeshivu arbaim shana b'mibar. And Hashem decreed that these spies will have to slap. This whole generation will be 40 years in the desert. Hivticho sheyechya ad bo shama. Not only will Kalev not die in the desert, like the Mekoshish Esim, the Bnot Slavcha, make sure to say about their father, he died by his own sin. Well, maybe Kalev will die in the desert of old age by his own sin. It'll be very clear that he wasn't part of Atzis Meraglim. But Lamaisa, he'll just die in the desert because his time is up. No, Hashem didn't only say you won't die because he had a Ruach Acheres. He overcame the Ruach Acheres. He used his speech, Letova Vayahas. He silences them. Don't talk Lashon Hara, it's not appropriate. He prayed for himself. I'll call Yaakov. It's all about the battle of words. There are so many facets, aspects, angles. Whew, techeda meraglim. Not only did Hashem say you won't die, Hashem said you will live. You will live so long that you will live out all this generation, even though you're already 40. You will enter Eretz Yisrael. V'hu amro v'havi osiv. And that's why God says, not only did he have a ruach acheres, not only v'yimale acharai, I'm going to bring him to the land. I'm sorry, I see the time. If you have to go, you could go. I'm finishing. Harei, listen to that in the Mayu Torah. Harei huftach b'chayav arbaim shana. God promised him, for he was already 40. They didn't live so long in the olden days. Uma, I know the Sam lived to 120, but lamaisa, since the time of Noah, age is getting shorter and shorter. Mashalo nasa l'shum tzadik ba'olam. You know why Kalev was so great? Because he wanted to sin. He was so close to the Atzus and Meraglim. Hani Machlis says, Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him to change. Kalev, I'm going to make it even better. Oh my gosh. Kalev is the word Kalev. Like, Kalev is the word Kalev. Why is he called Kalev? As a dog, do a dog barks. Kalev's natural tendency. Torah is so amazing. It's so deep. There are so many layers, so many remazim. It's all about our lives. It's the story of us, every individual, and Knesset Yisrael. Such a poignant shir as we enter Tammuz. The yahrzeit of Ariel Chana Smol is on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. First temple, Yuma Tes Amud Beis, because of Lashon Hara. Second temple, because of Sinas Chinam. It's such a relevant lesson. Kalev almost sinned, but he didn't. And that's why he's an Eved Hashem. And that's why he's promised. I couldn't make you die in the desert, Hashem says, but I'll make it clear in the Chumash. Bechet Omeish, say the Benot Slavchad. Okay? By his own sin, you won't be part of this congregation. No. You're not only going to live, you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. I'm giving you an extra 40 years so you could enter the land and get the place where you went with a kol Yaakov, where you davened for yourself. Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't ask Hashem to help him change. Kalev, which is name of Kalev, Because he has a tendency to bark like a dog. His natural tendency was to say the Lashon Hara. A dog makes noise. That's a dog's natural inclination to bark. What do you think? It's an accident he's called Kalev? I'm making it up? Chaf Lamed Beis and Micha Haaretz make up Kalev's name? You think it's an accident that it's the same word as Kalev? Can't be. Nothing in the Torah is an accident. I'm so excited this last year. Not I'm saying this last year of the week. I'm just so excited. This is the topic. But he overcame. Ben Yifuneh. Yifuneh is Yoranem Pana. He turned after Hashem. He had the tendency of a Kalev, but he was able to turn it around. Yod Pana. He turned after God. And he was promised 40 years. Mashalo Nasa L'Shum Tzadik Ba'ulam. Okay. And that's why he's called an Eved Hashem. Even before Hashem tells him, I'm promising you life. The pasuk begins by saying, Va'avdi Kalev. That's the first thing Hashem wants you to know. He's an Eved Hashem, and the Aruch Hayim says, Lo yazur achor me'avodas Hashem. Letzach Aruch Yom Kitzo. He will never turn away from Avdas Hashem. All you sparkles, I'm sorry. I never go this long over. I understand if you have to leave. I'm not insulted. I'm going to finish the shir for the benefit of Lahagdol Torah La'adira and anyone who can stay. And in honor of Aviva Hach and Lezech Nishmas Ariyal Chana Basnachem Eliyahu, if you do have to leave, I know it's Erev Shabbos, please finish on Mayu Torah. Od Yispar Kosov, by the way, dot, 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 I even skipped some of the Orchaim, and I didn't think I'd prepare too much. Od Yispar Kosov, Al Derech Eikav Asher Asa, Beis Dvarim Tovim. Furthermore, Kalev did two good things. Aleph, Haisa Ruach Acheres Imo, Peiru Shalo Halach, Achar Atzas Meragam. The first good thing he did is that despite this Ruach Acheres, this proclivity to sin, Kalev, almost barking like a dog, nevertheless, Shalo Halach Achar Atzas Meragam. The first good thing he did is he didn't go after the design, the advice, the plot of the spies. Vahasheini, Vayimalai Acharai, Shehi. I couldn't finish better than the Archai. I could not finish this year better than the Lashon of the Aruch Hayim. What was the second good thing he did? And we bring our shir mamish full circle. Shehishtika'am. Vayahas. He understood, Kol yamai gadalti b'nei chachamim v'lo matzati uguf kov mishtika. Hishtika'am. So gevaldik. So beautiful. So powerful and so relevant. The Saser Divrei Hamaragam. It's about the battle of words. And Kalev himself was almost pulled into their plot. He managed to overcome. That's number one. And two, Hishtika'am. Vayahas. Be quiet. It's Lashon Hara. Don't be embarrassed if you're sitting at the table and someone starts speaking slander. Don't be ashamed to say, change the topic. I don't think it's appropriate. And if they don't, get up and walk away. Chavetz Chaim was once in a home where people were speaking Lashon Hara. With Shabbos Avdun, he ran out of the house. Don't be ashamed. Kalev had the power to be like a Kalev. What is a Kalev? Do they bark? Ben Yifuneh, he turned himself around. Yod Pana, he went after God. But not, it wasn't easy. Eikav Haisa Ruach Acharasimo, he almost sinned. Hishtika'am. Ariel Chana, Lal Sham's father, likes to say, she's one of the very few people who never spoke a word of Lashon Hara in her life. Hishtika'am v'sasar divrei hamaragam. And he contradicted the words of the spies. Could there be a better Eved Hashem? V'shtayim shalem lo Hashem. And Hashem paid him back for those of these, both Milo's Tovas. I can't believe the time. I'm so sorry. Achad ve'viosif, how did Hashem pay him back? He says, I will bring him to the land. Beis Yorishena, not only will I let him go into the land, but his children, his seed, his progeny after him will inherit the land. V'tam shalo hizkir Yoshua. Yoshua is not mentioned. Litzad shehu zacha mitzad tfilas Moshe. Yoshua was saved because of Moshe's avoda. Kalev was saved because of Kalev's avoda. Belo hutzrach lihit atzei mikocho. Yeshua did not overcome. He was not strengthened from his own koach. So who's greater? B'makom shabali teshuvan omdim. Ein tzadikim gemurim omdim. Chazal tells in Pirkei Avos, al tarba sicha ima isha. We can omu chachamim, kol zman shadam marba sicha ima isha, go remram la'atzmo. Avtalian omer chachamim, his haru b'divrechem. Shammai Omer, and more ma'at the asay harbe, and it's Shammai who's so exacting, who's so harif. If Shammai says this, this is the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. And finally, If you pay attention to the lives of sages, you will come to learn that there is nothing better for the body than shtika, vayahas kalev esha'am. It's not how much you learn, how much you talk, how much drash you give. It's how much you actually do in your life. V'chol ha'mar b'dvarim mevi chet. And the more one speaks, the more they are prone to sin. So this shiur is dedicated by Rachel Smala family. Shabbizchus aliyah neshama nezechira latova. A very young kodosh neshama taken so young. Ariel Chana Basnachem Eliyahu, Ariel Chana Alaha Hashalom Basnachem Eliyahu Shlita. And it is also in honor of Helen Wolf's cousin and best friend, and in honor of my dear friend and learning partner, Aviva Ha, who is truly a woman who embodies Emor Ma'at, Asei Harbe, and who also embodies Asei Tarascha Kiva. I thank you, everyone, for learning with me. If you had to leave early, your friends had to leave early, please share the link. We'll be on my Torah. We should continue to learn for Besoros Tovos. I thank all of our past, current, and Be'ezer Hashem future sponsors. I wish you a meaningful and uplifting Shabbos and a little bit more Eitzah into the Chet HaMeraglim and the godless of Kalev ben Yefuna and the true Kedusha and elevation through knowing how and when to use our words. Thank you so much, everybody. A wonderful Shabbos. Kol Tov. Thank you.